Listen on Demand, brought to you by 680 News.
Joe Avati, welcome back to Toronto.
Thank you. It's been a long time.
It has.
Too long.
So, you know, right off the bat, you know, we're talking Italian. Let's talk food.
Yeah. Okay,
what's your favorite Italian dish?
I'd have to say a nice, simple pasta, because whilst it's simple, it's not, you know, you can overcook it, you can stuff up the sauce as well. So whilst it's simple, it's still challenging, and it's yummy.
And always good, always
yeah,
good.
Yes, always.
Now, you're actually a food scientist.
That's right.
Tell me what that is.
Well, food science is the study of chemistry, physics, microbiology, engineering, the manufacturing and of food, and also the developing of new food. For example, when I left university, I was working at Street's Ice Cream in Australia, which is probably the equivalent of Good Humour in the United States, and developing ice creams for them, children's products, adult products. So you've got to, you know, they give you, the marketing people give you a brief and say, this is where this product needs to go. And it's funny because products, you don't think of it, but ice creams have 5-year plans like a business would, and they know exactly where that type of ice cream is going over the next few years, and you have to make sure that you fit into that sort of thing. And I developed this one ice cream which a lot of women love to eat, and so there's a lot of women with my face on dartboards.
How many pounds do I gain because of you?
Yeah, so.
What was the flavor?
Well, it was called a Magnum ice cream, which I haven't seen here, but it's massive in Europe, also in America, and throughout Australia and Asia.
Wow, amazing. Now, it doesn't seem like a straight line, really, from food scientist to comedian. So tell me where did the jump come in there?
Well, I was doing comedy as a hobby while I was in my honours year at university. And I was sort of, it was my relief. It was my hobby. It was, you know, it was a way to let my hair down, so to speak. And then the comedy just took off. In about a year and a half into my food science career, the comedy just took off, and it got to the point where I had to leave to cope with the demand of around the world, really, of my work, and so there is no real correlation, but that's just the way it happened.
Wow. Yeah. And they say, you know, do what you know to make it funny, and yeah. Of course your show is based on being Italian, yeah, in Australia, and, yeah, and all the things that come with that,
yeah,
right?
And it's interesting because, well, there's two things. Firstly, a lot of people have no idea how many Italians there are in Australia, and if you know anything about Australia, you know that the English colonised Australia with their convicts. They sent over shiploads of convicts, and so it makes sense as a lot of Italians, because somebody had to build the prisons, Gloria. And someone had to feed the prisoners, right? So that's why there's a lot of Italians in Australia. But the strange thing is, coming here to Canada, or I do a lot of work in the United States and also in England, the Italians seem to be the same all over the world, and it's almost like they got given a manual, and they said, when you leave the country that you leave Italy, and you're going to the country where you're going, here's the book. This is what you got to do. You've got to concrete the backyard. You've got to put plastic on the furniture. You've got to have two kitchens. The first one you spend $40,000 on and never use. And the second one you eat in the basement, right? And it's amazing how it doesn't matter where you are in the world, Italians do the same things. So my work is universal in a way.
That's great. The plastic on the furniture, where does that come from?
That I'll tell you where that comes from, because I've been doing a lot of research on that. I'm thinking, why? Because when you go to Italy, there's no plastic on the furniture. So why do we put plastic on the furniture here? Because the Italians that came out, they came out for a reason, because I was doing it tough in Italy, and they came out to work, and they worked very hard. And they all of a sudden were earning a lot of money, and they could buy nice things, which they never could buy before. And so to preserve those nice things, they put the plastic on it, because then they want to make sure that it lasts for the longest period of time. And that's why we have plastic on the furniture. And the bizarre thing is, I make fun of it. When I bought my lounge suite, that plastic stayed on for 3 months, Gloria, because... And then one day I'm looking at it going, what am I doing? I'm doing the same thing that all the people that I make fun about are doing, you know? And it was just really weird.
It is hard to break from those traditions.
It was.
Yeah,
the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Now, there's also a bit of a serious aspect to your show in terms of, you know, the prejudice that Italians and other groups face when they come to a new country, and you do bring that into your show, right?
Absolutely, because it started because one day I had a friend of mine who said, "Oh, I love your work. My son loves you. My father can't stand you. He hates your guts." And I thought, why would someone hate me? I'm making people laugh. And he told me because the older generation thought that I was making fun of them. And it made me actually address it in the show, and I actually pointed out in the show, I said, you know, we're not actually making fun. What we're doing is sort of holding up a mirror to our culture and saying, yeah, this is the way we are, but it's cool, it's all right. And the young people really want to know a lot more about the culture. And so what it's done is brought people closer together. And I don't talk about Italians being mobsters and all that. I stay away from that sort of stereotypical things. I talk about us being in a family and the way we are and what's funny. And what's funny about the migrant experience and comedy's tragedy plus time. When my grandmother first went to Australia and couldn't speak English, it wasn't very funny. Now, when she looks back on it 40 years later, you know, there were funny things that happened. And so, you know, there's the funny part about it. You know, the way, and they laugh about it too. You know, the way that they had to deal with being a new immigrant. You know, and so they're the kind of things that we look at, and we make sure it's done in a very elegant way. We're not putting down Italians. It's not what I'm here to do.
Yeah, for sure. And now, how does your show change? Like, I've been 5 or 6 years since we spoke. Yep. What's changed with your show?
This is really interesting because a lot of people ask me, is it going to be new material? You know, I've been away for 4.5 years. There's a lot of time I've been on stage to develop new material. And yes, there is. And the two specific ways that the show's... Well, there's actually three specific ways the show's changed. The first one is that I look at the... turn this phone off, sorry. The first way that the show's changed is I really dug deep and went to my childhood and thought about what made me want to think about being Italian the way I do. And we had these Australian next-door neighbours, and I became really close with their son. And through him, juxtaposing his life and my life, I learned a lot. And I remember when he came to our house, he was 7 years old, this kid, Darren, and he got drunk, and that was just on the salad, right? And
Red wine vinegar.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. Made from home. You know, and our lives were so different at school. His lunchbox had stickers of Transformers, and mine had stickers of St. Peter, right, because my nonna would put them on there. And it made me think a lot about my culture, looking at the Australian way of life. And so I talk a lot about that. And by talking about the Australian or the Canadian way of life, or as they get called here, the Munger cakes, right, I actually address our life. The other way that I do it, there's a lot of young kids today. Now, I'm 38. I'm still single. I don't have kids. So I'm looking at these kids as if they're my kids. And I've turned into my father. So I'm saying to these kids in the audience now, you know, are you lucky? You know how lucky you are to have the life that you had? You didn't have to go through what I... some kid in my show the other night had an earring. I'm 38. I'm still not allowed to have an earring. I remember I said to my dad once, "Papa, I want to have an earring." He slaps me across the head and goes, "Now, your earring for a long time." That was our version of an earring, right? And so I addressed the kids, and I really, really spent a lot of time in the show talking about the way the kids are today. Because their kids are incredible today. They've got Nintendo, PlayStation, Wii, Xbox, iPhones, computers. But you ask them how they're going, and what do they say? "I'm bored." If I couldn't imagine saying that to my dad. And my dad, "Papa, I'm bored." "Oh, yeah. Come here. I show you bored." Psh, another whack across the head, right? And so by spending time looking at the kids again and looking at their lifestyle today, it reflects back on the way, you know, what we went through. So that's another way of looking at it. The other way that the show's changed is that in Australia I've been doing a lot of musical comedy, and we're writing big finales at the end of the show. And so for the first time ever in Canada, I've brought that over to Australia, that concept. So what I actually do, I'm lucky that the other guys who support me are great singers as well, and we all get up at the end of the show and we sing for about 17 minutes and we parody some of the greatest songs of all time. But in an Italian way, and that's a new thing that we've done that we've never done before. So the show has changed a lot.
That sounds great. What are some of the songs you do within that?
Oh, like, you know, we'll do Hotel California, or we'll do New York, New York. we start off like, you know that song, I Can't Live If Living Is Without You? Well, it's a song about a guy who's married a munja cake, you know, and he goes, don't cook, I can't. I much prefer my mum's food. Don't cook, step away from the stove, right? So, yeah, it's songs like that. It's hard to sort of put them into a context on in an interview, but when you actually see them presented 17 minutes and you got 15 or 14 different songs presented over 16 minutes, it works out really, really, really well.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a lot of fun because I always wanted to be a rock star. I never had the voice for it. So this is the closest thing I have to being a rock star, the end of my show.
That's great. Okay, how many Italian weddings have you been to?
A lot. A lot more when I was younger. I don't go to many now because I'm on the road a lot, but a lot. And what were you going to ask me about Italian weddings?
Is it still part of your show?
Oh, yeah. Look, you know what's interesting about the Italian weddings?
It's got to be, right? It's got
to be. What's interesting now is because when we were kids or – you know, even if I went to a wedding, say, 10 years ago, it's all got to do with cash, right? They don't give presents. So the Italians don't have this wedding registry stuff, right? It's all about, I'm not going to give you a toast. I'm going to give you cash. You buy whatever toaster you want. But you have to know how much money they gave you for your wedding so that you know you got to give it back to them for their wedding. But sometimes it's 10 or 15 years between weddings, but people don't factor into inflation, right? So if they gave me $100 in the 80s, I'm going to give them $100 now. No, wrong, papa. You know, you could have given them $200. Yeah, you know, and it's a whole mathematics that goes on when an Italian wedding. But the Italian weddings are a great source of comedy for me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and what are some of the other areas that you touch on in the show?
I talk a lot about my mum now, which I never used to talk about. Someone said to me once, "Do you have a mum? Is your mum still alive?" Yeah, she is. You know, Italian mums all seem to have gone to the same school to put the guilt trip on. You know, I moved to Melbourne from Sydney, and the airport is about, I don't know, 40 minutes away. So my mum lands, I'm stuck in traffic, and she rings me up. I see her number come up on the cell phone. I go, "Oh, no." She goes, "Where are you?" I said, "I'll be there in a few minutes." "That's all right. I can walk from here." "Oh, my God, Mum." "That's all right. If you got something to do, maybe you find another mum who loves you not as much as me." Oh, and they're like, "Mum, you know, that's okay. I'll come and pick you up. It's all right." You know, they like to put the guilt trip on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's great. Well, Joe, terrific. Are you going to be touring around Ontario and then right across Canada?
Yeah, it's a 14-city tour around Canada, stopping off, most of the shows are in Toronto and in Montreal. We hit Hamilton as well, Guelph, Oshawa, Ottawa. So, it's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to it. I have such a great time here.
Fantastic. Well, I'm sure the audience is going to have a good time too.
Thank you.
Coming in.
Thank you, Gloria.